New chairs. Oh my God, I love these. Oh, I love these chairs.
I really do too.
Oh, I do.
You know, I was watching this now that we moved into my old bedroom to film in here, and it is whack as hell. These are just in frame the whole time.
Oh, I guess so. But I mean, you know what? I mean, what
are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
What are you going to do? And there's nowhere here to pull trade. There's no bed. Nothing makes people more comfortable in a sex situation than lots of lights and cameras.
That's, oh my God. Imagine.
Well, remember that time I hooked up with that guy, that OnlyFans person who didn't get hard? And well, I said, it's hard for me to not take it personally when you can get hard with about 12 other people around, a grip, a key grip, a dolly grip. You know, Stephen Sondheim,
a script supervisor,
a script supervisor, assistant to Mr.
COVID officer,
a body double, a COVID officer on the Paramount lot,
the head of MGM.
But then when we're here in privacy, that dick receded like a collapsed on itself like a neutron star.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like it looked like Earth. It was Earth, a gray shriveled rubber band.
I know you're averse to, you don't believe in, you know, feeding people Viagra like candy or whatever, but why not a little?
I guess I'm wacky how I don't give strangers prescriptions.
I that's the personal choice. Your body, your choice, or their body, their choice. Whatever.
Their body, my choice.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. But you don't have a little Trimix around, laying around?
Oh, you know, I should, I want to start slow. And so I'm going to start with injectables.
Two injections into the cock shaft.
Do people know about Trimix? Because
we talk
about it, but we talk about like it's a watch brand. It's Christmas. My husband got me a Trimix. I love it. Trimix is, they call it liquid Viagra, right? Like injectable Viagra.
Yeah, you inject. So here's what you got to do. Because for people who suffer from erectile dysfunction, not even, I wouldn't say dysfunction, because maintaining an erection for 6 hours during a shoot is not exactly like, that's not a normal function, I would say.
Right.
But in order to keep that thing rock hard, they get two, it's an injectable into the shaft, the tissue of the penis. To make it tumescent, but you got to pump the cock first, because some of these guys got dead dicks. That dick ain't alive.
Well, is it permanent damage?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, some people do it. I think it depends on the dick, depends on how the frequency, all that stuff. But you could have a dead ass dick.
But you know what? Like a lot of death, being dead is as being done. Dying is as natural as being born. And having a dead dick.
Sometimes dead is better.
I've seen some dicks I wish were dead.
Hello. Oh my God. But you got to pump it, get it hard. Then you got to stick it. Then you need
Is it a bop it?
Is it
no. Twist it, pass it.
You got to like boop. Two injections.
It's an injectable.
It's a needle.
So when you walk into the bedroom, are you L Driver?
Yes.
Kill Bill with the needle.
Do. I got two.
Uh huh.
I got to take the eye patch off because I need my vision to do the.
Are these people injecting their own dicks?
Yeah. Sometimes, many times, and then
brave people.
There is a antidote, which I believe is like similar to this. Could be very false, but it's like nasal spray. I think it's some kind of thing like that where it's like you can.
It's Nasonex.
Yeah, it's like, because sometimes the dick doesn't go down.
Well, don't they say in the commercials if you're experiencing an erection longer than 4 hours? But these people are like. If it's not going to be for 8 hours, why bother?
Well, yeah, they need to. And I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, wow, shit. Even when I've been like pumped, the most bloodshot diva pumped full of Viagra.
Yeah.
That's not a dick. I mean, 6 hours, it's not going to, you know, that's intense.
I saw a tweet the other day that said, bottoms be like, ooh, I'm so wet. Baby, that's shit. I don't like that. I don't like, you know, the older I get, the more I'm like, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You know, I'm starting to turn on my people. I'm starting to feel a disconnect. I'm like, am I gay? Was I ever gay? Because you know, how being gay is tired, corny,
and played out. It really is. Oh my
God. Not as played out as drag.
No.
Drag is more played out.
That's the dead dick. Drag is the dead dick.
This is of the gay experience. It's the necrosis of the gay experience. It's the rigor mortis.
Well, how about this? I had to tell the guy, speaking of needles, I just came from the doctor, got a giant injection in my hip. So, and they told me this.
Birth control?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. But I had to wear a Johnny. I don't usually experience the doctor like this.
What's a Johnny?
A Johnny is a night dress, a dressing gown.
Oh, open in the back?
Open in the back. But he said, take your pants and your underwear off.
Were you getting an IUD put in? That seems involved.
right. But like all the other times I've gotten the shot, I just, you know, I pulled them down a little bit. Uh-huh. He said, take your pants and your panties off. He didn't say panties, but I wish he did. And then I had the Johnny on over my sweatshirt with my hat and socks. And I was laying on the bed for so long, like 20 minutes.
We need to talk. Okay, at the doctor, the amount of time you will sit in that room by yourself is actually really shocking.
Well,
40 minutes? Yes. 50, an hour?
They said when I like got the last minute appointment and they were like, okay, 12:30, you have to be here. Like, please be there by noon. So I got dropped off the wrong place. I ran 5 blocks to be 10 minutes late and then waited about 20 minutes to be seen and then another 20 minutes in the thing, is fine, whatever. But like, I was just like, this is the strangest thing. I'm naked from the waist down with my hat on. I wouldn't take the hat off. And then I was like on my side with my little butt exposed.
And no one wants that.
No one wants it. And then I told him I was a drag queen. And it was. And I just thought to myself, I wish I was living someone else's life right now. It was too much.
Oh my. You know what you need? Michael. You need like a get. You know in Get Out, the reveal is that they're taking people's brains and putting them in other people's bodies.
The different one.
We need to put your brain in a different body because your brain. In a different body?
My brain into Jennifer Lawrence's body.
We could have a really different lives.
Yeah, my brain into Jennifer Lawrence's body or my brain into Penelope Cruz's body mm-hmm. or perhaps even my brain into Svetlana Lobata's body.
You could do a lot with that. You
could
actually help her.
A lot with that, absolutely.
You could help her. I want to get into Paris Jackson's body.
Who is Paris Jackson?
This really tall, beautiful actress. I believe she's Michael Jackson's daughter.
Really?
Yeah, Paris and Blanket.
Somebody bring up a clip.
Paris Jackson. Look, she gorge.
Oh, wow. She looks like, actually from here, she looks like Penelope Cruz.
Yeah, when she goes missing and then suddenly like she gets really into guitar playing or like you're going to know. I'm not going to be very subtle about it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like Paris Jackson reveals her Barbie collection and her aversion for acoustic
and
guitars.
And her love of auto harp. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to be like,
Meanwhile, Trixie Mattel has been found missing. Yeah.
Do you like Michael Jackson music?
Well,
I'm not talking about the person. Do you like the sounds of the music?
Do
you like the way it sounds?
Before I knew about his licking little babies' asses,
mm-hmm. I, as a child, listened to Jackson 5, Motown.
Did you really?
Yeah, but I never got that into the contributions musically of that person.
I don't love men's voices, to be honest. Like, there's a handful of like singers that I listen to on the regular. That have men's voices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't like to listen to it for some reason. Who are the top 5 singers, male, men?
Shaq.
Men who sing. Shaq.
Didn't Shaq do rap?
Charlie Sheen.
Rick Moranis had a country album.
Rick Moranis. Jim Belushi.
Jim Belushi. And
no, really though, really. Who's your five? Top
my favorite. Five,
right away.
Male singers.
Male singers, go.
James Taylor. Love.
Okay, next one.
James Taylor. Jason Isbell.
Love.
Okay. Greatest songwriter of our generation. Okay. Who am I really listening to? I don't really listen to a lot of male singers, I guess.
B-52s.
Love Fred Schneider, okay, of course.
Two more.
It was a clam. love those. I mean, love James
two
Taylor.
More, two
I
more,
love,
two more.
Oh, Towns Van Zandt. That album, okay. Live at Houston, it's okay. In a bar. And while he's singing, you can hear like people talking, people going to the bathroom. You can hear like pool tables. It's very
noise.
Informal. Okay. And he tells little lame jokes between,
okay.
Between his...
Barry Manilow. Do you like him?
No.
Michael Bolton.
No.
Elvis.
Of course. Come on.
Okay. Roy Orbison.
Not really.
Barry Gibbs.
No. Oh,
Bee Gees, I think. The Bee Gees? Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
Falsetto. Maybe.
Yeah.
I should have been a disco singer.
Okay.
More than a woman to me.
Yeah, I don't know. When I think of like, Luciano Pavarotti.
Oh, of course. I mean, come on. I remember listening to him in college because, you know, the teachers want us to listen to like, you know, the people. And it almost looks like an extreme. When you're singing, it's not pressure, but it's a resistance, right? It's like a piece of soft tissue that's like operating but not clenching. Mm-hmm. And somebody like him, the full body is engaged and that sound is shooting out of his skeleton into an auditorium.
Yeah.
It's almost an extreme feat of like sportsmanship. It's Comanche sportsmanship. It's a
archery on horseback.
Archery on horseback. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Well, so Eden was just saying that a lot of times it's hard for female singers who are expected to look graceful, beautiful, and flawless, because that level of singing requires such a grimace often that, like, to really get those notes when there's no lip syncing, it's not the most flattering thing to look at close up on a camera or in a concert. So why pre-recorded is usually the tea.
But the greats don't care. Look at Celine. I had the same voice. My voice teacher used to sing backup for Celine, and he was like, and her top end, she does this thing called like the bunny face where she like almost snarls to access like her teeth.
Yeah.
And he was just like, it's not about looking. He's like, that's just the weird face you make to get the sound perfect. I said, you know what? Let the people make ugly faces. What if you had a gorgeous voice? Gorgeous. Let's say it's Celine meets Whitney meets Jennifer Hudson meets just it's
Mariah.
The voice.
Yeah.
But every time you go to sing, the piano starts and you're like,
I think that would be incredible, because what you want to do.
And then the song's done and you go, thank you. Wow. Thank you.
Because that's when you get in bed with a fabulous lighting designer. And then in concert, it all goes dark, or a projectionist who projects a face onto your face. And then during the moments of like the breaks, then you just go back to smiling.
Well, it's kind of like an industry trope that like people are compensated. Yeah.
Susan
and tongue
Boyle.
Out too. Yep. The words could be Mary had a little lamb and you're like.
Like Reagan in The Exorcist. Yes.
Or it's that Snapchat filter that Macy Rodman uses. The one that's like, the tongue one, the other one that's like.
Oh, yeah. That one's really intense.
And imagine you're singing like Phantom of the Opera and you're just like, I love that. But you know what? That's what she looks like. I love the idea of like an industry, like you're compensating. Like if you're not as good of a singer, you like do reveals or wear fabulous, whatever.
Right.
And then if you're a really good singer, you're like, I don't need all that. I just wear a black turtleneck.
Park and bark.
Yeah.
The park and bark.
That's why you notice, you see me at the music festivals doing about 15 costume reveals. Yeah. And then you see Adore singing in a t-shirt.
Yeah. And you brought the Big Apple Circus with you.
If you want to hear this. Yeah. Although Adore's in Milwaukee tonight. She is so good live. I did a gig with her once, and this sounds dumb. I had just never heard a drag queen sing like that. Mm-hmm. Before Queen of the Universe, when my mind is permanently blown forever by those singers. Permanently blown. But when I saw Adore do a sound check live, I was like, I thought she was lip syncing. I was like, this
really?
Is unreal. Her voice is unreal.
She's got a good voice.
And it sounds exactly like her record, which is very impressive.
That is impressive. I don't think.
She's great. Adore, friend of the show. She's been on the pod many times. I hate when people do that. When they say many, you can just say it once.
Many, just say many times.
Many means many.
Many, you could say 300 times if you want to get specific.
There doesn't have to be many manys.
Yeah.
Many is many.
Many is many is many. What about Rihanna? Did you catch the Super Bowl yesterday? I know you're a huge football fan.
I didn't. I filmed all day because I thought, it's a Super Bowl. I'm not going to get invited to anything. You better believe Gigi Gorgeous was like, you want to come over for a Super Bowl party? I said, what is this sports powwow we're doing?
No. Here's nobody's actually watching the game. They're doing drugs until the halftime show, and then they're drinking afterwards.
Yeah. It's great. Rihanna, listen, people are critical of a person who to me doesn't produce a lot of brand new music. Mm-hmm. But when you have a body of work like hers, it's called finishing early. It's when you're taking the SATs and you prepped, and so you fill out your Scantron and you go set it down and leave before the time's over.
I think she has 14 number one hits.
Yeah, Rihanna doesn't owe you or anyone more music. Let her vibe. She's making makeup. She's mom.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're critical of people because they like haven't released an album in a while. Who cares?
Yeah. It is strange. It's strange.
It's like a one-hit wonder.
Except
no, they finished early.
14 times.
Right. Like Devo could write Whip It and they'd be like, we're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know. I thought it was great. I thought it was like extremely well choreographed. I don't know who the choreographer was. That information is I feel like you have to dig to find that out.
I looked it up. Joni Mitchell.
Joni Mitchell. She got booted off. She left Spotify to choreograph for Rihanna. Good for her.
Good for, and you know what? She should say it. She's Canadian. She's a painter. And she's a choreographer for Rihanna.
Rihanna.
And Rihanna's music has a very worldly, multicultural appeal because the way she sings, it's not even really, it's sort of like Sia. Where the words are so distorted, it's kind of English, but it kind of isn't.
Mm.
You know? She like manipulates the words.
Oh, nah, nah.
Right.
Yep.
It's not even, it has so much appeal in different countries.
Come on.
Oh, I started doing drag in the clubs when S&M came out. You better believe every show somebody had that red wig on and a cheap cat suit, and they were rolling around in the dirt.
Willem and Detox were in that video.
It's a great song. Yeah. I don't want to be like basic. That's my favorite Rihanna song.
That's pretty basic.
Have you ever heard that song, California King Bed? It's her like big ballad. It's so beautiful.
California King Bed?
That's yeah. And I can't sing it because we'll get.
Oh, it's not the Take a Bow song, is it?
No, it's a ballad about sleeping in a big bed, and even though you're in the same bed together, you feel really far apart.
That's like Tori Amos' song called China.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break. I have something I want to talk to you about. I went to see, speaking of drag queens performing, I went to see Bob at the Troubadour like two nights ago. And went in, I went the last second. I did a really good job.
How'd you secure those tickets?
Bob.
You contacted Bob. Okay, you invited
me. And then Bob's assistant, Kennedy, reached out. Okay. Kennedy Davenport.
Kennedy
reached out. It's, by the way, I was texting Kennedy, Bob's assistant, and I almost texted Kennedy Davenport. What time should I get there?
Can you get me tickets to Bob's show? Because you're both black.
Yeah. Hey, can you text her? So I get there and I walk in. It's a really, they have a little VIP area.
Oh, that's good.
And I'm standing there watching the show. Bob comes out. It's an EP, so it's like six tracks.
Oh, it's a music show.
Yeah, yeah. It's a music show, but it's rap music, house music, R&B vibes.
Oh, cool.
Six total performers.
Okay.
So Bob was doing numbers, and then he would have other artists
doing numbers. Such as?
I don't remember anybody's name, but I loved
it. But you didn't know that you weren't familiar with them.
It was this beautiful, it was like, I mean, everybody there was either, everybody was queer or black or trans. It was like, you had to be. And the music was great. The sound was great. Bob was great. The performances, Bob's rapping was like, so cunty but like comedic and like it's
how
so
long
fierce.
Was the show?
It was at least an hour. It's only six tracks, so Bob at the beginning was like, y'all, it's like 14 minutes of music, so bear with me here.
I would have been like,
Bob was like, I'm fleshing out the show, otherwise I'll be out of here in 15 minutes. Bob did costume changes, looked so good. Willem was there. Willem has long hair and a beard.
What, Mary?
It was why the last man,
the last of us,
it was long beard, long hair. He goes, I'm a top now, and flips his hair. And I was like, this is crazy. The people we know are crazy.
Upside down.
It was really crazy.
Upside down.
Naomi Smalls was there with long grown out hair. Everybody was looking like it was the upside down, the other mother version of themselves.
Whoa.
It was really crazy. And then now that I'm not drinking, I'm just keenly aware of everything and those social scenarios.
I know
who's on drugs. Mm-hmm. I know who's drunk, and I know all of it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it now.
It could be like, you're hyper aware. The sensitivity is like sharp. You have to put headphones on.
Yeah. And then I get more into bothering the people who are imbibing for my own enjoyment. So like I'm standing next to Troye Sivan, and this rapper, is it Mikey Angelo. Okay. He's a rapper from TikTok.
Okay.
He comes out, he's rapping. He's like 40 pounds soaking wet. The twink of all twinks. Like he comes out and I'm standing next to Troye Sivan. I said, I guess you better wrap it up, huh? Because I was like, oh, Troy saw this little 40-pound-year-old boy come out. Yeah. And Troy's like, well, I'm 80. I'm going to walk into the ocean. Goodbye. You know, I think we should have like a, for the aging twinks, I think we should have like a midsummer.
Oh, yeah.
Jump from the thing. And then somebody, you know, who's like an ultimate old twin? Like a
Courtney act?
Yeah. We got Courtney act. We got that guy from Real Gays of WeHo. John Galeski. I don't even know. I don't know anybody's name. All the old twinks are there, and they all have like old, like hammers. But instead of the hammer, it's those big red shoes that are coming out.
No, they fall in a net. They put the big red shoes on them. They glue a lace beard, and then give them a wig. They just have long lumberjack lives.
Yes.
Yeah. She's got long hair and a beard? Willem?
Yes.
Yes. How is that possible?
And you know, Willem's hair is naturally like really curly.
Curly,
like
yeah.
Bernadette Peters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's,
she flat irons it?
No. I wish.
With a giant like beard.
So she has a big long beard and long curly hair. And you know, Willem's medicated at all times.
Okay.
So Willem's also like super high, and she says, she's screaming, I'm a top. And I was like, it's so crazy.
I don't know if I'd be able to, that's crazy. That's too crazy for me.
But some of the performers are doing that thing I love where when you're watching a show where people are rapping, they're often rapping over their own voice.
Yes.
So they can take artistic breaks to dance or do whatever, and they don't have to be faithful to rapping the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the performers do that thing where they walk around and then put the mic down and just...
Sure. Serve cuntisha.
I love shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think lip syncing should be... I don't think anybody should sing live. It's too stressful.
Who cares? Yeah,
if they show up, that's them. Remember them? They sang that song.
Remember them?
Yeah, that's her.
That's them now.
That's her. That's her.
That's her.
There she is.
And there she was.
And there she is. And that's her, like, just put it together. As long as they're, like, standing up and doing some, even just walking around,
uh-huh,
or looking amazing, what else do you want?
Yeah.
Seriously.
It was a really fun program, though.
That's good.
I noticed you weren't there.
I had no idea it was happening. I was not invited.
So what do you have against supporting black queer artists?
Everything. White is right.
Shut up. Well, I think you should send them some flowers. Well, I mean, I think there's some accountability here, and there's a way to kind of like parlay this into a learning moment, a teachable moment.
If you would let me finish, you would realize I did something even more courageous than that the week prior. I went to Disneyland.
With a child.
With a four-year-old. So catch that, you hater. All this hateration.
The only thing worse than a child predator
is a hater.
A child. Oh. How was Disney? You'd never been, have you?
No, and funny that I had mentioned this plan to, I mean, half a dozen people who had previously gone to Disney,
uh-huh,
who failed to mention a very important detail about Disneyland, the no smoking policy.
Oh, no. So the what happens if you're at Disney and you want to smoke?
You cannot.
But where do you go?
You cannot.
You go back to Los Angeles?
You exit the parking lot. So you know how like Six Flags, for example, will have like a little smoking area in the shadows, like, uh-huh, tucked away so nobody sees you,
yeah,
which,
yeah,
is like, I guess that's great. There is no such thing at Disneyland at all.
Nothing
of the sort. And it's an all day affair from start to finish.
Well, can I say, as a smoker, can you do like the patch or the gum? Does that help through the day or no?
No, because I'm not on an airplane. Like I physically can smoke a cigarette in any place where it's not going to be an issue. I can't do that in an airplane. So
you don't want to get thrown off an airplane.
No, no, no. But in the air, while we're up there.
You especially don't want to get thrown off in the air.
But you know what I mean? I think of, like, my brain goes, think about the possibilities right now. Smoking is not one of them. Not even close. But smoking at Disneyland.
You're outdoors.
Is very possible. Very possible.
Fuck.
You know what I mean? So it was a little frustrating. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'm going 9 hours without smoking. So that sucked. And I was also like, I mean, I wasn't super impressed by the park. I think probably because there were so many kids. It was so many kids.
I want to say two things.
I know it's Disneyland. I know it's Disneyland.
I want to say that I talked a little about this, and you skipped, I think, what are the two best rides.
Okay.
Which is Indiana Jones.
Okay.
It's amazing. It's like being in a movie.
Is it as a roller coaster? Or is it like
No, you're in a fake Jeep.
Okay.
There's sound, giant snake, sure, fire. The other thing that you skipped that I think is amazing is the Pirates
of the Caribbean.
Yeah, that ride is really cool. It's very ambient, like you're in a little boat going through these scenes.
Okay.
I'm sad you skipped those two. What was your favorite?
Well, so Space Mountain was my favorite, actually. The first one we did, and I cried.
Uh-huh.
Because it felt like I was like Enter the Void. It was like very, very simple. Very simple. Like, I'm surprised people like it.
It is very simple.
It's so simple.
It's in the dark with
tunnel
little
through
lights.
The dark. Yeah, with little tinklies, little like dorm room tinklies.
One of the first times I did edibles was at Disney.
That's perfect.
And I took a little bit of a cookie.
Yeah.
And it hit on Indiana Jones.
Yeah. I would suggest like really pulling on the DMT vape and then going to Space Mountain, and that would be like.
Can you vape?
Absolutely not.
But how are they gonna find out? Doesn't vape have no smell?
Vape has.
Did you go in the bathroom like?
But that's that's the thing. That's what I wanted. I don't like, smoking is not like heroin.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like, I just need my fix. It's the thing I want to do. So it's like halfway. it is like heroin in that sense. You know what I'm saying?
Because you want to do it.
But the act of doing it is not shameful, and I enjoy it, and I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to see you like sticking a needle in your toe. You just need to get the heroin in there. It's not the same thing with smoking.
I'm at Disney doing Trimex. I'm on the Finding Nemo ride injecting my cock.
I'm in Space Mountain in the dark with a huge bloody boner.
Wait a minute.
No, I did not get a boner. Oh, no. When I saw the Yeti.
Oh, that just gave me a chill.
Well, it made Graham, my nephew, who is so cute, and I don't care about kids, but he is the cutest kid ever.
Uh-huh.
And he looks exactly like me when I was four. You put it together.
And he's cute?
Yeah. And he cried at the Yeti. It was so cute. And I told him, I was like, listen, my friend or... my
you
business
didn't
partner.
Say yes, yeah.
My
Let's
business
not
partner.
Tell stories.
My business partner, who's 33, cry during this too.
It's a horrible ride.
Yeah.
When that ride.
No, it's not horrible. It's just at the end where the Yeti comes and it's scary. It's scary.
But the beginning, when you're going up and they have these effects going.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're on a, you know.
It's cool.
And they have this ice walls and you hear.
Yeah.
Oh, and you hear it roar.
Yeah. And then you
see it. I knew from that moment, I said, I hope we never see whatever that is.
And also, you're in this, like, you're not in a traditional, like, roller coaster amusement park ride. You're, like, in a bowl.
Yeah, you're
in this bowl
a fake bobsled.
It's a fake bobsled with no, like, you don't have really, like, you have nothing to, like, grip or, like, you know what I mean? It's very strange. You're in a bowl.
It rattles a lot, too. Those rides rattle a lot. And so then the point of the ride is that a Yeti is chasing you down the mountain.
Yeah.
So you're going up, and then you're going down. And the animatronics on those Yetis.
It's fierce.
Oh! It's red eyes.
Yeah.
Giant.
It's huge.
The sound effect of it roaring is so loud.
Yeah,
it's so loud. And it reaches for you as you go by.
I love it.
I'm not being funny. I'm not being funny.
Yeah.
I'm not being funny, love. By the way, I got to talk about the UK last week. I'm not being funny, love. That ride is horrifying.
Yeah.
You can't, kids can't handle smoking, but they can be chased by Yetis.
Say it again.
Thanks, Obama.
Thank you so much. Sleepy Joe. Do something about it. Yeah.
Get on AOC. Get involved. You know?
Yeah.
I got to tell you about this, though.
Okay.
I was flying back from the UK. Ugh. I got to talk to you about British Airways.
It's horrible.
I think that the Brits are doing airlines like they're doing their Wi-Fi, like they're doing the air conditioning. You know, they're kind of...
Not at all.
Yeah, they're kind of dipping in and out.
Okay.
Very high standards for quality in some ways. And other qualities, you're like...
Yeah.
The music when you get on is like,
sure.
And you're like,
the stuff that doesn't fucking matter.
It feels very British.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The seats in the business class, I'm not going to play it about having business class. It's very lovely, but two of the seats are facing forward. Between the seats is a seat facing backwards. So I am
Wait, what?
Okay. Two of the seats are facing forward. You and I, let's say we're both facing this way.
Yeah.
And then there's a seat between those two that faces this way.
What?
So I'm the middle seat. I'm sandwiched looking in between. At two people looking at me. And I'm trying to just play Spider-Man. I'm playing Spider-Man for Steam Deck, my video games. Sobbing. The ending was so beautiful. I cried playing Spider-Man.
Wait, why is that? Is it a space? What's the purpose of it?
He got bit by a spider.
No.
A radioactive spider. So Peter Parker.
The seats.
Oh, so now once it's up in the air, you can push a button and these clear windows go up. So it's like
Sure.
Which I guess it's good that there's more seats available. Like, I think it probably overall cuts the cost of first class, probably makes it more accessible. But these two people looking, at least when you're sitting with three people, you're all looking the same direction.
Yeah.
Two people looking right at you. And I sat down last. So these two people are looking at me like, now you're in my bubble. And I'm like, well, here we are.
That is so strange. Is that a new thing?
Sounds like a new thing. I hope it becomes an old thing.
Yeah, hello.
So I got to tell you about this kid crying. It's not crying. It's not.
It's the banshees of Ed Sheeran.
I would have thought that I would look back and Leatherface was back there cutting toes off one by one. This kid, off and on, I would say every 45 minutes on this 10 and a half hour flight, would wake up and start screaming like murder was happening.
How old?
His mom was being stabbed by Ghostface.
How old?
Maybe two, which I think is old enough to know better.
Yeah.
British Airways. So screaming. Scream! I mean, I can't even do it, but it's like, it was like there was
emergency.
So much guttural
effort. Yeah, emergency.
It wasn't baby crying like I'm hungry or look at me. It was crying like I'm in danger.
Yeah. Emergency.
And of course, flight is a little scary.
Is it?
I mean, I don't know.
Is it? I beg to differ.
I almost yelled a few times. Shut up.
Oh, I wish you
had. I was so close to going,
shut up.
Like, I was so close. And then I thought about doing like, shut up. Like maybe doing a voice and then disappearing and being like, who said that?
It was Dr. Phil.
And then when we finally got up, if you would have seen the way I looked at this baby, I couldn't say it legally. I couldn't do anything legally. But I knew what I was allowed to do.
Yeah.
When I walked by this baby, the look on my eyes was this. You're the baby, I'm me. And then this other lady's like, well, somebody had quite a ride. I said, let's not try to trivialize.
No, don't you
and
dare.
And I know that there's going to be parents who listen who are like, you don't know what it's like to fly with a baby. You're 4-month-old or whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to see you, UK. They're not going to remember.
No.
Get a sitter.
I know. 10.5 hours in the air with a... What would you do? Sedation dentistry is the thing that happened for dentists. I mean,
Trimex. I wouldn't give the baby Trimex
in the vocal cords.
I would give, let's say my baby has a small, strawberry allergy, and maybe I just
anaphylactic shock.
And then right when we're about to take your seats for landing,
EpiPen
right in the kneecap. I'd be a great parent.
A little cognac and a binky.
But that being said, the more I thought about it, of course, I'm just being reactionary.
Yeah.
As a parent getting on a plane, 10.5 hours?
No.
No matter how, my baby never cries.
You don't want to do it, no.
That crying's going to happen. I don't know what you do. They must feel
so bad.
Not bad, because they're probably like, whatever, it's my baby, live my life. They probably feel like flying is already stressful enough, and you have this, you can't even console a baby because they don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I know.
So the baby's like, oh!
I mean, nobody wants to be, they feel the worst, I would say. They have to be. No, the parents, yeah.
The more I thought about it, the more I was like, that parent probably just feels like everybody egg on my face. Like I'm sorry, I have to bring my baby.
I'm sorry. I hate this also, and I'm sorry, and there's nothing I can do about it. Yeah.
Because these babies are so young. If you're going on an international trip, I don't think you can really leave the baby. This is probably two parents are traveling, or it's a single parent situation.
Leave the baby where?
With the husband, or with the wife.
Sure, yeah.
Babies on a plane are tough. You know what I thought about? I'm going to bring a newborn when I travel. One of those, I really want
rent one.
One of those silicone little babies.
Yes, and then get a really realistic shriek that's like,
shh. And then I'm wearing the breastplate. And they go, oh, somebody's fussy. And then I pull down my cardigan, my Letterman jacket, like my cardigan. And I put my tit with the fake baby.
You smother the baby with the tit.
But I'm pressing the baby's face in so hard into the, it's being like eclipsed. Or maybe I'm not sure on how to breastfeed, so I'm actually motorboating the baby, and I'm like, she's fussy. I watched a little doc on people who have those fake babies.
It's so very fabulous. Interesting. I love it. It's
YouTube.
Fabulous.
You gotta YouTube it.
I know. It's so like, is that mental illness?
No, I think it's like the next level of having a comfort item. This is my comfort song. This is my comfort TV show.
Is it? I mean, that seems a little diabolical to me.
I mean, I have fashion dolls. A fashion doll is a far throw from a baby doll.
Yeah.
Adults with baby dolls, that's a different world.
You're going to the supermarket and you're like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, speaking of, I got to tell you, I made an extravagant purchase.
What?
I have been for a long time looking for a specific doll.
Okay. How much was it?
Like 20 years.
How much was the...
I don't want to say, but I've been looking for it for a long time. You know, for Barbie collectors, owning a number one Barbie from 1959, first edition,
it's a big thing.
It's a big thing.
It's a big get.
When it was created, there was maybe only 350,000 created.
Okay. 350,000.
It's like a 7-year-old toy. There's not going to be that many left. Okay. They're going to be broken, destroyed.
Sure.
These are items made for children to destroy.
Oh, right. So this is a perfect condition.
So to have one that's in good condition.
With the packaging?
Flawless condition. Wow. My friend Bill Greening, who works at Barbie, mm-hmm. I said, do you know anybody who is reputable who might have a number one? Yeah. He goes, let me put my feelers out. Months go by. I forget about it. My interests change.
Yeah.
He texts me, hey, here's her number. She has one. It's in great condition. She sends me pictures. It's in amazing condition.
She sold it
to you. I go, can I get one? And I didn't want to say who I was because I didn't, what if she's homophobic or something? I don't know.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Then I just, I finagle it. Yeah. I get it. It's in the mail. I've never had something so expensive be in the mail. I'm terrified.
How did they send it?
It was like certified shipping signature. And you had the signature. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Dave and I are in the hot tub. We go in the hot tub for maybe 15 minutes. We miss the delivery. I go,
oh, right.
Great. Yeah. So then I have to go to the post office. I get it. It's in my hands. I get in the car. I start screaming. Because it hits me. It's in here. It's mine. It's probably real. So I'm screaming. I'm going like this. Screaming. And Dave is like, okay. And we're driving home. I open
it. Did you open it in the car?
And I have to verify whether or not it's real.
Yeah.
No, oh,
how do you do that?
Video.
Okay.
So I wait for video.
Okay.
And there's a few ways you verify it's real. There's little differences in the eye makeup, differences in the quality of the plastic, those markings on the feet. There's a few ways to identify a real number one. Everything checks out and I'm just stunned. And I've never felt so happy in my life.
I, That is fascinating. And so, but so if you could, you could probably resell this, right? And it would still
fetch. I think I'm going to put it in a safety deposit box at the bank.
Are you serious?
Because if it stays cold and dry, it will stay nicest the longest.
So what's the point of having it? Just you just...
I don't know.
No, really, like what?
I don't know why you have it, but I always wanted to find a good one. Because it's going to appreciate in value.
Okay.
It came out in...
Did you look at it? You just look at it?
Yeah. When it first was sold, it was $2.50 in 1959. Some of those have sold on auction for $25,000.
Holy shit.
So it appreciates in value.
I'm curious about like the... You don't do anything with it. You certainly don't take it out of the package.
Well, it's in the box, but dolls back then weren't like vacuum packed. They came like, okay, Here's the box, here's the thing in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like now where dolls are wrapped in plastic.
You don't play with it.
No, you hide it in the dark, dry and cool with silica gel and air, like a humidor, like an old cigar. Like
an old cigar, but that you never smoke.
I think what I'm going to do is get a reproduction of it, like a newer one that looks like it, put it on display. And then when people ask, is this the original? I'm going to say, no, it's like in the Louvre where they're like, it's not the real Mona Lisa.
It's not the real Mona Lisa, right? That's fascinating to me. I'm trying to think of something like an object that I would get so excited over that I would never like.
But I never splurge on a pointless item, so it was a big deal.
I wouldn't call it pointless. I mean, certainly that reaction is something.
It felt very joyous. It felt like, it feels like meeting a celebrity. That's okay. What it felt like when I unboxed it. It was like,
okay.
It was Jurassic Park in the beginning. Cover it up when the helicopters come and they're the bones.
Oh, okay.
Would you ever buy, what would be an item that's like non-essential collectible relic?
I don't know. Well, I was thinking about the receipt, waiting for something in the mail. When I was 95, maybe 1995, when a VHS copy of a Cirque du Soleil show came in the mail and I blacked out.
That's no, seriously. Right.
Like I blacked out, like, and I remember like I couldn't contain the excitement, and from the table to the packages on the table, and then getting
from the windows to the walls.
Yes, from the table to the VCR, I went black because I couldn't, and I didn't make a sound. I was like,
How many times you watch that movie?
That tape? Are you kidding? I mean, until it wore out.
Wow, like once a day for a while.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I did that same thing with when I ordered on eBay. The because I missed the 2000 Olympics because I was being goth, and then like they no, it's true, but they
how time consuming is that? Is that a rule with gothdom?
No, it's just
you
like
not go to the Olympics.
No, it was just like incompatible. It just didn't. They didn't cross. They didn't. There was no Venn diagram overlap. But I wore out those two tapes of the whole women's competition in gymnastics. Wore them out. Watched them every morning.
Uh-huh.
Every morning in college.
Do you remember when
in
you
college?
Went to, do you remember when you went to see Cirque du Soleil and you realized it wasn't going to happen for you?
No, but
remember when you went to Cirque du Soleil at 40 and you said, "Oh, I don't think they are going to draft me as a young gymnast after all because I have zero training,
zero
I'm not
training,
the right gender,
no skills,
and I'm not the right age."
Yeah, huge liability. Well, I told like, it's so crazy getting hyped up for something. Now I just try to live in the moment.
Slow down. Get excited, but use your words.
Yeah. And also don't like, just, I don't ever have expectations anymore because I cried coming home from that show.
You know what? People will say things like a concert, collectible, things that don't necessarily like, it's not worth it. If it makes you feel, it is worth it.
It is worth it. If it, absolutely. Like it, what it's worth, what the value to you is could be, I mean, I wouldn't go see, you know, most, popular artists in concert because I wouldn't stand up for that long.
David Silver went to see Adele in Vegas and he was like, it was the best thing I've ever seen. It was
seated,
so worth it.
Theatrical, gorgeous, lovely. Yeah. Yeah,
when I saw the B-52s, when they came out, what I felt when they came out and Private Idaho started,
crazy.
Even one song was worth it.
Totally.
Granted, I got the tickets for free.
There you go.
So it was extra worth it.
See, I spent about $2,000 flying everybody to go see Lebeda and she wore a yellow suit. Wait, I want to continue to talk to you about children.
Yeah, what else?
I was very scared about having my nephew come visit because I don't...
Did he sleep in your house? Oh, no, they put
no,
you
no,
in
no,
hotel.
No. But no hotel, right down the street. My brother rented a big, huge car. And it was actually like, this motherfucker has so much energy. You don't know about it.
The car?
No.
I'm kidding.
Horsepower.
Yeah, this car? I'll tell you, I hit my nephew. He flew.
He's going to be an only child and not have any more kids. And he's very,
oh, you said that like we're going to kill the other one.
Yeah.
she's going to be the only child. Go. We're thinking of doing the electric chair around January.
But he was like, he'll just run. I think my brother told me he's like, one day they took him out to a hill. He said, go run up that hill. They did like 50 times. Indefatigable is the word. Indefatigable.
Well, maybe he's going to love exercise like you do.
Well, I was going to say, like, you got to get him into a sport ASAP because then he's going to totally. He's going to win a gold medal at something. He's going to win a gold medal at something.
I don't think children like running, but maybe like...
This one certainly does.
No, like track and field. Like, There's not 5-year-olds doing track and field.
What a bummer.
But maybe like...
Was in ninja class now.
T-ball.
What? What the hell is that?
Young kids like that play What's ninja class?
What's T-ball?
T-balled? That's the T-ball. What's ninja class? What's T-ball? Okay, T-ball is like baseball for kids where no one's throwing the ball. They put the ball on a thing and you hit the ball.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like you eliminate a child trying to pitch.
Oh, that makes sense. And then ninja class is like self-explanatory.
Is it karate?
They're running around being ninjas. Bloop, bloop, bloop.
What do they do? Is it like intro to karate?
I have no idea. But they're probably just running around and hitting stuff.
I bet it's like...
You bet it's karate element. No,
I bet you they're right now. He's tracking Marjorie Taylor Greene.
He blow darts and stars.
I bet it's like they wear like a little ninja outfit, and it's like martial arts, but it's more for kids. Like get on the ground and crawl across the floor, and then cartwheels and
It's running.
Do you
around.
Want a kid now?
No, there was not one. I mean, I love this kid. He could not be cuter. He could not be funnier. He told me he started calling me Candini for out of nowhere. And said I was going to jail for having a teeny weenie.
So when did you get naked in front of
your nephew? I did not get naked. It was like he has this wild imagination that often involves poop and pee. He's a big fan of poop.
I think that's normal for kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And adults.
Kids love like the poop emoji.
Emoji he just pillows. Loves poop. He loves, like, I said, what do you want on your pizza? He's like, poop. You know, things like that. Mm. I love it. Is great.
You know, he's going to get old enough that he can come visit you. Was your family impressed by your beautiful home?
Yeah, my brother couldn't get enough of the outdoor situation, which sadly was not fully done and is still not fully done. Let me tell you something about being 40 years old in up in the hills. Do you know what the number one thing that catches my eye and holds my attention is?
The smog.
The fucking sunset.
Uh-huh.
Why are people always talking about the moon? Why are people always talking about the moon? Girl, fuck her. It's the sun. The sunset?
Is it like, are you like Bird Box when you're watching it?
I'm like
your pupils turn black and you're like, oh God. Uh-huh.
It's just, it's only 20 minutes long, 20, 30 minutes. It is incredible. It's like these colors.
Did you give him a tour of the property? Did you feel like Sarah Paulson on Architectural Digest?
Yeah. Sorry about my tiny home, my tiny house. It's so small here. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. You got to come over. I know you saw it, but that was like halfway done.
No. My dream is that you finish the backyard.
Yeah.
And then we go up to that second tier and we do a podcast from under the pergola.
So that's a great idea. You know, the third tier, which wasn't even started when you got there, is done. And it's so spacious.
The workout area?
Yeah. But I want it. So I talked to the contractor about putting in a tumble track.
Yeah.
And how dangerous that would be.
I
know, but it's like, it's the perfect length and you sink it into the floor. You create like a 6-foot ditch and then you just...
I think you better dig a 6-foot deep ditch, bitch, because you're going to snap that neck and we're going to have a service. Like, do you want to die?
So,
you
no,
think 40s, the year to start trampolining, tumbling? You live on a cliff. You live on a cliff.
Go out big though. You know what I mean? Anyways,
what about rings? Get some rings. Those are pretty safe.
Those are stationary. I want to tumble. I want to fly. You know, so, but it's the sunsets. I'll settle for the sunset.
But men have a higher center of gravity. It's much more dangerous.
No, I'm not like doing like double somersaults. I'm just doing back handsprings and layouts and that's it. Just boopity boppity. It's okay. I've gone to the full.
You're the Jonathan Van Ness of the drag world.
Oh, it's very level one.
Yeah.
It's very level one. And with a crash pad and a fence, it'd be fine, but it'd probably be too expensive and nobody else could use it. That's the thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could never be like, yeah, go up to the top floor and use the trampoline unsupervised. People would die, not me.
Your little tweaker friends?
Anybody. Everybody would die.
Mid-aerial, inject some Trimex and come down on the neck.
Dead body, died doing what hard she loved. Dick.
Dead body, hard dick. Can dead bodies get boners? No, right?
Well, rigor mortis.
You know, when I'm gone, I take the Matthew Kemp doll and I put it in the chair and I face it away from the door with a blanket over it so that if someone breaks in, they think someone's here. It's my, like, when you have a
your Home Alone.
When you have a mannequin so you can take the carpool lane. Like, that's what I, because I don't always trust my Ring alarm.
Of course.
Oh my God. Listen. David's sister's visiting us, and just yesterday she's waiting outside our gate to get in. Yeah. And some bitch out there, some lady is screaming, "Fuck you, bitch. Fuck you, bitch." And Allie's like laughing, and I was like, "Isn't this neighborhood fun? Is this neighborhood really fun?"
Colorful characters, my God.
And
then I love
Brandon
that.
Was outside my house waiting for me. God. Brandon's outside my house in the car, and this lady, this woman, is parked in her car, and she yells to Brandon, "Don't worry, the cops know me, they know I'm cool." Brandon goes, "Okay." And then she goes, "I'm not going to show you my dick." Brandon goes,
"Holy shit."
Yeah.
Damn. Well,
if you're going to live in Hollywood, you just have to have a sense of humor, roll with the punches, and just know that anything's possible.
Anything's possible, and everything is probably.
Human shit?
I know.
The number of times I have, by the grace
of God.
You
must feel like a veterinary pathologist in a way, or like you're just like. You're diagnosing illnesses through.
Well, I'm taking a sample, you know. But I've been on track to step in the poop, on projected track. The spirit of like Tom Daly, Gus Kenworthy, Caitlyn Jenner, every queer athlete gets inside me and buoys me that extra 6 inches, and I just clear the shit, and I'm like, oh.
This episode is about clearing the shit.
But you know what though, like if it's standard to pick up dog shit.
I don't think there's an established etiquette around picking up your own human turd off of the sidewalk.
Because I assume these are dog walkers. Or like, if it's good enough for the goose.
I thought they were talking about human shit.
No, this is human shit.
Yeah.
But I'm saying,
it's a dog walker.
It's a dog walker who's like picking they're up their shit and they're like, might as well.
Take one, leave one.
Because if you're going to shit somewhere where you don't want to get in trouble.
You might as well do
Hollywood
it.
Hollywood Boulevard.
That's true.
There's no way. Yeah. We can't get NCIS down here to test poop to find out who did what.
Right.
You know, just try not to poop on anyone's star.
Please don't poop on Barbara Streisand's
star. Take two steps left of Charlie Chaplin and then take a shit.
Damn.
Anyway.
Well. Love that. Why do we always talk about shit?
I don't know.
Stay tuned for the next episode about more shit.
Yes, and I can't wait for your backyard to get done because we have to do a backyard
talk about
fantasy
shitting.
Episode.
You got to take a shit in that, like, in the backyard, and I'll pick it up with my bare hands.
Oh, yeah. Have you thought about getting a litter box? Today's episode is brought to you by Pretty Litter. When you have a backyard where you're bald and you're 40 and you can't put in a trampoline because you could die, you get a kitty litter box.
Maybe you can't do flips, but you sure can squat and take a hot turd right in the backyard. Open air.
There was this, you know, Violet's cat Eugene.
Yes. Yeah.
I remember there was this fierce ad. Violet did like a Pretty Litter ad. Mm. And, you know, only Violet could make litter look hot
and glamorous. Yeah.
So there's a cat, there's litter. Violet is in a corset, like butthole out, bent over, hair flipped over, like.
Yeah.
And the caption's like, "Did you know that Pretty Litter turns colors to let you know the health status of your cat?" I was like, only Violet has the potential to make this
like
hot.
Yeah, cat worms hot.
Sexy and hot. Yeah. Anyway.
Love that.
Well,
okay.
Bye.
Goodbye.